Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joe Sheehan.
I don't know if you read what Joe Sheehan wrote.
I did.
Baseball America, SI, and the Joe Sheehan newsletter.
Into right center, back of the warning track, the wall, it is gone!
He writes what Dan reads.
Reading is good.
Joe Sheehan with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
And just as we heard Yu Darvish in his own words earlier, Joe Sheehan also doesn't need a translator, and you can hear him in his right now. He's on Twitter at @Joe_Sheehan, and he joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. Hello, Joe. What's happening, man?
What's up, Dan? Questioning that. There are people who told me they can't understand what I'm saying. So.
Well, I certainly understood this via Twitter that you just posted, but I want you to let us know why this is significant. 10% of the season is in the books. Hitters are putting up the best on contact numbers ever. Home runs on contact, 5.23%, best, a huge jump over 2017's 4.82. Slugging on contact is a best ever 565. Isolated power on contact, 237, best ever by 14 points. What the hell?
And you know, normally I'd be a small sample guy, but you know, a couple of points. One, as you know, Saras pointed out a couple weeks ago, season level numbers and league numbers stabilize a lot faster because you're talking about, you know, you're putting in 900 plate appearances a night. The other thing is that April is when we usually expect offense to be down. Now, granted, we've had better weather this April around baseball than we have in a lot of places, but in a lot of other Aprils. But realistically, you can expect these numbers to go up as the season moves on. And you know, I kind of look at it as there's a lot of complaints, right? All the hitters can just slap the ball the other way to beat the pitchers and make more contact. But it's hard to look at these numbers and not see that what they're doing is work. They're, again, you look at these home run numbers, you look at these slugging numbers, and yes, some of it is the baseball. Rob Arthur had a piece the other day talking about how the baseball seems to be closer to what it was in 2017 in terms of air resistance and how far it's flying. If you just watch, sit and watch games on a given night, man, you see a lot of balls flying out of ballparks. And I think that these numbers, what the hitters are doing on contact, justifies everything that they're doing at the plate in terms of selling out for power, you know, giving it for launch angle, trading contact for power.
Is it better?
Define better.
Better than what Rob Manfred would have you believe his sport is at right now.
Well, see, this is an interesting thing. So I'm of the opinion, and I Connor, I don't know how old you are. I'm 48. So I remember
33.
Like the eight. All right. So I apologize. I don't mean to say that. I don't mean to diminish you. But what I'm saying is, like, I have actual memories of baseball in the 1980s. And the thing about the 80s is that there was a variety of ways, approaches to win the game. You had, you know, teams like the Brewers or the Red Sox who would try to outslug you. And you had teams like the Royals and the Cardinals who would try to get on base and run. Mm-hmm. There were all of these different ways to play the game. And I think what we've lost in today's game, forget the aesthetics of it, is just there's just not a whole lot of ways to win. You pretty much have to strike guys out and hit home runs. And if you're not doing those things, you know, what do you just don't have a variety of approaches. And I think that's one of the things that's less interesting. Now, as far as the aesthetics of it, you know, there are smart people I respect, and I feel like this is the generation gap, which is why I asked how old you are, that if you don't remember a game where there was a lot more motion, a lot more first to third, a lot more defense, a lot more everything, you can just focus on the raw skills of these players, which are absolutely amazing. These are the best baseball players in human history, and just say, hey, this is exciting. You know, kind of, it's the difference between baseball through the center field camera and baseball from section 312. And I think that this is the dominant way of the game, and there are a lot of people who love this game. I love the talent on display, but as somebody who remembers a version of baseball that involved more than the pitcher, the batter, the catcher, and the umpire, I feel like we have lost something, yes.
We were reading a piece a couple of days ago about this, the, like you say, the sort of accepted way of, you know, hit home runs and strike people out, and yet there are fewer fastballs being thrown than ever. We are seeing an adaptation to something here where these swings that are designed now that have responded to the uptick in velocity, that the next response has been fastballs, when thrown, are harder than ever indeed. They're just not being thrown as often. What's going to be the effect of this?
Well, we're seeing it. We're seeing more swings and misses. We're seeing more. One of the things we're seeing is more pop-ups. The pop-up rate has jumped over the last 2 years, certainly, in fact, year over year, which is driving down batting average on balls in play. The batting average on balls in play is the lowest. It's 294. It's the lowest since 1987.
Wow.
And we'll see where that number goes. There's, Dan, you mentioned the back and forth. One of the reasons I think, just thinking about it from, you know, standing in the box a zillion years ago, everything is off reaction time, right? You have to gear up to hit the hardest fastballs in baseball history. And all of those things make the breaking ball more effective. The decision point for hitters is earlier than it's ever been before because of the velocity. And on top of that, you have pitchers who are throwing the nastiest breaking stuff in baseball history. And this gets into some of those, you know, all of the technological changes in the game have really favored the pitchers. You talk about the Edgetronic and the Rapsodo and the way pitchers can kind of learn how to shape their pitches and maximize the spin on their breaking balls and get the right hand angle. Tom Verducci had a great piece in this in Sports Illustrated about 3 weeks ago. So pitchers, they're not just benefiting from the velocity. And yeah, but because they know they can, or hitters know they can throw 93, 94 as a matter of course, adjusting to that nasty breaking stuff is that much harder.
We're seeing it in Chris Bryant, I think.
A little bit.
I'm looking at all the data. We've been looking at where he is now so kind of mixed up that not only is he making a lot of outs with non-competitive swings on changeups and breaking balls, he's now missing hittable fastballs in the zone. And I don't know if this is just a blip or if he's a perfect example of the kind of player to whom pitchers have adjusted.
And it's interesting. So you just go off the stat line. I mean, a strikeout rate of 20, I'm looking at now, about 22% isn't actually that notable, right? You would look, but this is something that you get if you watch the player every day. You kind of say, okay, what is he missing? How is he reaching those strikeouts? And it's confusion. Now, what I would say is, it's 15 games into the season, and Chris Bryant is enormously talented, and I really wouldn't be that concerned about him big picture. But if pitchers today can make Chris Bryant, one of the most naturally talented hitters in the game, look like that, think about what they're doing to the rest of the league.
One guy who's kind of changed a trend as it comes to strikeouts is Yoan Moncada on the south side. He had 85 strikeouts looking at last year. He has had none so far this season. That pace last year would put him for 9 already. He has completely changed the hitter. What do you make of such a radical adjustment?
You're a patient hitter coming up to the minors. You're patient. And you kind of becomes, okay, how do you balance that? We used to talk about this with Adam Dunn all the time. I remember going back and I'm not trying to pull Chicago examples, but I remember when Frank Thomas used to take these for this, you know, take the pitches. It's a matter of finding that balance between being a patient, disciplined hitter who waits for his pitch and drives it, and not being too patient. This is when I talked about Moncada last year in his first full season. I was pretty much, hey, this is a guy who's 23. Even in what is not a great season, he's going to be a 2-3 win player, and it's just a matter of him adjusting to the major leagues. He was never going to strike out 200 times a year. That wasn't the type of hitter he was, because he wasn't flailing away. It was an approach thing. So it's a matter of gaining confidence in swinging at the marginal pitches you can drive and laying off the other ones. I love to see it, because I've been a Moncada honk ever since, since he was coming with the Red Sox in the system. And I still thought last year he had the ability to get the bat to the ball more than he has. Again, he's going to be a high strikeout hitter. He's going to strike out 140, 150 times a year. But 140, 150 times a year for the power that he's going to provide is nothing.
What does Tim Anderson's start mean to you?
Any hitter with his, we've always known, right? He's got the strength, the bat speed to be a productive hitter on contact. But I don't think he's necessarily changed fundamentally as a hitter. A 10-1 strikeout to walk ratio is still miserable. Mm. He's not, we're talking about Moncada, about that being an approach difference. This isn't an approach difference. This is just the raw skills taking over. Any hitter who has Anderson's ability has the ability to go nuts for 50 at-bats, which is what we've seen here. I think this could end up being a peak season. You know, maybe this is the year about, you know, he gets 315, 320, but I think he's the same fundamental player that he's been. And in a totally different way than Moncada, even being a flawed player, he's still a very good one. That contract that they gave him a few years back is a fantastic deal. He's going to be a three-win player. He's a plus defender. He's plus on the bases. Guys, what is he, 5-for-5 stealing so far this year?
I think so.
I compared him in the past to guys like Adam Jones, who are about as good as you can be without having much of an approach at the plate. And I still think Anderson has that kind of ability. I think Anderson's peak is going to be like a 4-to-5-win player. And, you know, maybe you're seeing one of those seasons this year. I'd love to know what would have happened if they hadn't rushed into the majors. I feel like they rushed into the majors, guys, what is it, 6 years ago now, it feels like? It's been a while.
16
I do wonder what would happen if Anderson had been allowed to kind of maybe develop an approach in the minors rather than being rushed. But for the player he is now, that's it's not somebody who's going to be one of the five best players on a championship team, but he's going to be part of that next group of players that really makes the team, puts the team over the top.
There are a couple in both the National League or in the National League that have been surprising to me. Christian Yelich, I know he won an MVP last year, but keeping up the home run rate is something a lot of people didn't think he could do, and he just keeps hitting them. And Cody Bellinger has absolutely been terrific to start the year. Either one of them more surprising to you than the other in terms of their performance this year?
Probably Yelich, because I was one of the people kind of saying, okay, you know, nobody's going. He remember in the second half last year, half of his fly balls went for home runs. And that's just, Babe Ruth's big brother doesn't do that. And you come out this year, and it's not that the home run to fly ball rate hasn't regressed. It has. He doesn't have that same home run to fly ball rate, but he's shown that he can convert as a hitter. Guys, when he was with the Marlins, he was basically hitting fly balls about 20% of the time. That was what he did as a Marlin. And this year so far, he's hitting fly balls about twice that rate. And to see this kind of conversion as a hitter, you know, we talk about guys like JD Martinez, Justin Turner, Max Muncy, guys who kind of were, their career was going nowhere, and then they became launch angle guys and they hit a bunch of home runs and they became stars. Christian Yelich is an example of a player who was already a star. Christian Yelich was a 4-to-5 win player as an extreme ground ball hitter because he ran the bases, he played the position, he hit for average, he drew walks. He was a star who then said, oh, wait, I can hit the ball in the air more? And now this is what we're seeing this year. So this is a legitimate change in the player, whereas last year's second half was kind of, he hit more fly balls, but it was kind of a fluky homer to fly ball. This is, I'm a legitimate power hitter now in addition to all of the other things I used to do. It's really fascinating.
It's amazing. It reminds me of the conversation we had years ago with Jim Fry when he was talking about Ryan Sandberg. And he just noticed something in his swing. And he said, you know, you should try to pull the ball a lot more than you do, and you're going to hit a lot more home runs. And Sandberg just said, okay. And it took a guy who was always expected to be a very, very good player and turned him essentially into a Hall of Famer.
Right. I think about Charlie Morton a couple of years ago. Oh, wait, I can just decide to throw the ball harder? And, you know, now he's sitting on a $30 million contract. It's the deltas with players. I think that's one of the things that we're going to have to get used to now. We talk about, you know, player career paths. They get better, they peak around 27, and then they fall off. And that's changed a little bit. But now, players have the ability to change what they are, maybe more than in any time in baseball history. So we just don't know what these guys can become from year to year. As an analyst, it's going to be a little frustrating, but it's also going to be fascinating to see how these players make themselves better.
Well, David Bote on the Cubs, we heard that story.
Yeah,
He was hitting 108 mile an hour ground balls, and everybody in the Cubs organization saw all the data and said, "Yeah, we're going to change your swing plane if that's okay with you."
The American League version of that is Yandy Diaz, who the Rays picked up over the winter. Same thing, incredible exit velocity. Just needed to learn to elevate the ball.
Joe, appreciate it. Great talking to you as always.
Thanks, fellas. Take care.
Always interesting times in baseball, made more interesting by the intellect of Joe Sheehan, who you hear on Tuesday. Remember, Tuesday is Joe Day on the Score. You get Joe Sheehan at 10, Joe Madden at noon.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.